1216, compromise peer review.
So, yeah, this is the case that I was talking about before about not being able to contact the institution. It's actually quite similar to some other COPE cases that have come up in COPE recently. Slightly different. So the issue is one manuscript pre-review, having been through all of review, was caught before publication, was found that the reviewers had been completely fabricated. They weren't even real reviewers with fake email addresses, as in the previous case. They were actually made-up names. And then we discovered that a previous paper by the same authors had been published with the same reviewers. So obviously this highlighted that there was a problem in our processes, apart from anything else, and that our academic associate editors had not been following our guidelines and carefully checking suggested reviewers suggested by the authors. But also, we have one manuscript, it's fairly clear that to us that we can reject this, in that the authors have supplied fake reviewers, but the case of the published manuscript is a bit more complicated. Essentially, it hasn't had a valid peer review. And our inclination is to retract that article, but we'd be interested to know what your thoughts were, and also how to deal with the fact that we can't contact the authors' institution and we can't contact the authors, so we have no reply from the authors either.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question? Because there seems to be a great big gap. So the editor has not received any reviews on the paper?
They have received reviews, but from fake reviewers.
Yeah, but the editor has a responsibility. The editor invites the referee. The referee
The editor has invited the author's suggestions of reviewers.
So the authors have provided fake email addresses, and it's always themselves.
We don't know who it is. they are their webmail addresses. And yes, the editor has not checked those reviewers. They've
that
taken
they
the
really
suggestions
exist.
And they've just asked us to invite those people. Yeah. And that's in clear breach of our guidelines, but at the same time, our guidelines didn't foresee that they would not be checking suggested reviewers carefully.
Good Lord.
And
speechless.
The suggested reviewers, were no other reviewers invited?
They were an old client hand of the manuscript.
That's a good sign, though.
Can I just say that we have seen three cases now in a very short time, and I'm actually really angry at these sorts of cases, because all of you must be aware there's so much criticism of peer review out there. Everyone's saying it's not needed, and the publishers and journals say it's really quality. Now, I'm the proponent of peer review, because done properly, it's incredibly powerful. You have a problem here at either just this one journal or more than one journal, or maybe not with your editor-in-chief, but how it percolates down, because it says the associate editor. Do they come in and maybe are not given guidance on what they should do? And, you know, credentials should be checked before someone is even invited. So this sort of thing should never actually happen at any journal.
The guidance is quite clear that they should not invite all the reviewers who are author suggestions,
right.
And that they should check their publication records. They should check that they're not the same institution. They should check that they haven't published previously. Any of those checks would have revealed that that these weren't real reviewers, but at the same time we should have considered the possibility that our editors
do
were
they have
not
an editorial office with assistants, or are they working on their own inviting reviewers?
We do have an editorial office helping them, but
so why was it did the editorial office not pick up that these were not legitimate reviewers? Because that will be one of their roles also, not just to go, you know, because we know editors send all sorts of strange things. They send reviewers for the wrong manuscript, you know. So the editorial office perhaps needs a bit of guidance as well on the kind of checks to do and the database.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
The database should have a lot of this kind of information so that the checks are actually very easy to do for anyone going in, that in 5 minutes you can validate somebody from your own database. And then for anyone that you can't validate from your own database, you would go outside to do further checks.
Well, when it came to our attention, it was, a two-minute check, and we realised our editorial office So I think they are meant to be performing
these
checks.
You need to have step by step, what are these people doing? Do they understand? You know, you need to go step by step by step, what is happening when a manuscript comes in, and spot where these are. Because we have had three cases, and I'm sure there are going to be loads more.
Yeah.
And these people, they have published other papers using these systems. They may actually tell their colleagues, go to that journal. They don't even check. So there might be a whole load of people at the moment submitting papers all over the place to different journals. You know,
it's something of a relic of a change of editorial model, when previously these manuscripts would have been handled entirely in-house, and these would have been checks that would have been carried out. And when the guidelines were changed, when external academic editors joined the journal, this process wasn't developed properly.
Maybe, I mean, sometimes when you put everything onto an external academic editor and that you want them really for their academic expertise, it's time, it's a factor. They don't have the time to do this, which is why maybe they need a bit more assistance, you know, if it's the editor who's failing, knowing the guidelines but not obeying them.
Yes, no, I completely agree.
Maybe that needs to be a comment.
I think you just sometimes underestimate how hard it is to find reviewers for a paper. I mean, we had numerous papers where we had to ask and ask and ask. In one paper, we had to ask 17 people before we found two. I mean, I can understand. At that point, you're like, I just need a reviewer. And then you send it out and somebody says yes, and then maybe it's not right, but it just falls to you're just desperate.
But first of all, I think the editor bears a lot of blame here. And if I were the publisher, I would retire the editor maybe yesterday. Second, if you can't find a reviewer, or after going to 10, 20, I don't know, then how interesting can the paper really be? Who will read it? And it should be clear, if you cannot find a reviewer, the paper is not of sufficient interest to be published. And you can use this as a perfectly, at least in my area, it's used as a perfectly valid reason for rejecting the paper.
I agree with you totally, and this does happen. I have a limit on if I've invited 10 and they all declined or are unavailable, I've got the message.
Right.
So what I'm meant to do, being the editor of the journal, I read it myself thoroughly and discover why people are not interested, and then convey that with my rejection
email.
Yeah,
that's an extra step, but in one of the journals that I edited, we had decided 5 reviewers. And of course, before we even send the paper out, since the papers are close enough to us that we can read the paper, we also look at the references in math, if the references are to something around 1890 or something along those lines, that's another signal or red flag to us. But you shouldn't have to go through a lot of reviewers, and certainly I would look with suspicion at using the reviewers or only the reviewers given by the author. Somehow I think it's clear that the journal should be retracted as well as the editor.
Can I add something? We've had a very similar case, which we presented at a previous Coop meeting, and we've just retracted about 25, 30 papers because of that problem. One thing we found interesting is the retraction notice has been picked up by Retraction Watch, and thereafter the institution contacted us, whereas we couldn't get in touch with them for the whole process of investigating. So now they're taking notice, and they're asking us to send them the evidence we have. So perhaps contact Retraction Watch.
So should I sum up? Because I think there's quite a lot of things going on here. I think that, you know, there is an acceptance that peer review is hard, but it's hard to find the right reviewers on occasion. That I think publishers have a duty to educate and support their editors, and I think the publisher also has to take some responsibility here. I don't think you can just say this is a editor who's rogue and doesn't, they may be very new. I mean, we often talk about academic editors who are primarily academics and may have no training in being an editor. So I think publishers have to take some role here. However, the people that did this, the authors, are basically gaming the system, you know, stroke defrauding the system. And I think that you can put the checks and balances that you like in, and you will still get people who are attempting to do the wrong thing. So I think, you know, I think we should bear in mind that the authors of this paper have actually done something fundamentally very wrong and are now refusing to answer your emails, because it seems to be that they also have sort of Gmail accounts or whatever. Is that correct? So we're not even you're not even sure who the authors are in this case.
No, but it's from a country where the use of webmail accounts
right.
is very widespread amongst editors and senior
researchers. Yes, and that point came up actually in a previous discussion, which is that there are places where, you know, Gmail is much more stable than your institutional account. So there are legitimate reasons for having Gmail accounts, for having Hotmail accounts, that, you know, as well. And then there's the issue of these papers, which you have to deal with. So I think that, you know, dissecting all those things out, what you want to do with these papers, I mean, if you can't get the authors to respond to your basic queries about who these are, I think you, again, give them an extremely short deadline, indicate you're going to retract the paper that you've published unless they respond. We as editors need to raise awareness of this, because this is clearly, if we've seen three cases at Coke, this is clearly an enormous issue. So I think that you would do well perhaps to write something in your journal about it, and I actually think at Coke we should write something on it and try and publicise it.